Good morning. We're here for another series of interviews. We are talking to ISVs that have had success in moving their business from on-premise to the cloud. And this morning, I am interviewing Masud Zarabian, who is the CEO of BA Insight. BA Insight is a VC-funded company that is transitioning from the classic on-premise model to recurring revenue model. And this is an issue that a lot of ISVs are struggling with. Should they go all in and move everything to the cloud, or can they transition over time? And BA Insight has a very interesting hybrid model, and we really appreciate Masud taking the time to explain it to us today. Good morning, Masud.
Good morning.
So, what I'd like to start with just is a quick overview of BA Insight, the history of the company, what you're selling, who you're selling to, and so on.
BA Insight was founded in 2004. The original idea was to build applications on top of SharePoint. The founders had actually done apps while they were an IT organization and thought that this is a pretty good business model. They actually created a product that is called Preview, which is similar to what Microsoft has now as Preview on SharePoint 10 years ago, and in time evolved into a company that also sells connectors and other variety of other things to help SharePoint integrate with infrastructure. We are VC funded. The founders raised money in 2010. I joined the company about 18 months ago. We are mostly focused on US. I can divulge our turnover because we are VC backed, and I'll be hung if I tell anybody what the numbers look like. We are profitable and a growing company.
Okay.
Our solution is focused on helping people implement intranets and customer portals using SharePoint. If you think of evolution of SharePoint, it started as a content manager. In time, it started being used heavily as a way of getting people access to content information within companies. Over a period of years, it has grown to having 40% market share in the SharePoint, in the portal market. And what we do is we make SharePoint be more sticky in environments. So we start by having connectors, out-of-the-box connectors that connect SharePoint to 50 other systems, and we continue on building connectors to help with that. And those connectors connect to SaaS systems like Salesforce.com, to Box, to Google Drive, to internal systems like Documentum, FileNet. And it's used as a way of creating a single index that allows people to find information. We have a classification engine that automatically tags that information to help with findability and finding of information. And then we have a whole bunch of applications that run on top of SharePoint to help people with search results. I.e., the idea in here is that if you're using SharePoint, you get the same kind of an experience that you will have with internet-like applications. Majority of intranets today are way behind in terms of how they deliver the user experience and meeting the user expectation, and we think we do the things that improve that, you know, tremendously.
Okay, so who's your target market?
Our target market is IT organizations in companies that have more than 5,000 people for now, so 500 million plus. We do North America through a direct sales organization. We do international through partnerships. And, you know, we have a variety of customers in many verticals. But honestly, at the end of it, this is a horizontal market for us because SharePoint as a portal is used horizontally in organizations.
Okay. And can you describe what a typical on-premise transaction would look like in terms of a software license and implementation services?
It depends on how much software they buy, but you start, you know, at the lower end when there's only a connector involved, it's probably about $75,000 between software license, maintenance, and services. At the higher end, when there's an enterprise implementation, it can grow to be as high as, you know, $500,000 when you look at license and maintenance. And the services piece will have to do with the size of the project, but that probably will be another $100,000 to $150,000.
Okay. And are you using channel partners or are you doing only direct sales?
We have started looking at trying to build a formal channel program. So we do have some channel partners, but majority of our business, at least in U.S., is coming through our direct sales force. We, you know, we have some referral partners in U.S., and we are building international partners as we speak.
Okay. Well, thank you. So what was the driving decision factor in looking at whether you should move to the cloud or stay on-prem?
You know, there's a whole bunch of dynamics when you work in a VC-backed company. So on one side, if you go look at valuation of a company, you know, those who have a large recurring revenue are valued much more than those who don't. On the other side, if you look at Microsoft, Microsoft is starting to have a cloud strategy or has implemented a cloud strategy and is pushing everybody in that direction. And then if you look at the market, you know, the customers are also starting to look at taking advantage of cloud technologies and cloud strategies as a way of improving how they deliver services. So you know, if you look at the combination, I can come up with, you know, three different reasons. You know, my VCs told me to do it, Microsoft wants me to do it, and my customers are going there.
That brings up an interesting point, because as we had our conversation earlier, you were talking about the strategic initiatives behind driving this change. So you were talking about customer-focused, investor-focused, Microsoft-focused. How would you describe the differences and how you worked your way through to decide what was best for you?
Now, honestly, to start with, I've been in business for a long time. I've run software companies before, and I have my failures told me one thing, and a really important thing, which is those who do not pay attention to their markets, eventually the market will get even with you. And when they get even to you, with you, it's going to be a harsh lesson. So if you look at any company, large or small, when you do not pay attention to the market changes and you internalize, you listen to what you like to do, it is just a matter of time before you have fall behind the market. And the market, you know, unfortunately, when the market turns on you, you know, it's really hard to turn around and catch up. So it wasn't actually that difficult of a decision to make just based on the past experience, which is, look, the customers and the market are starting to go in that direction. And when we looked at the direction they're going and talking to our customers, a lot of them were going in a hybrid direction. They were not actually massively moving to the cloud. They were doing things that made business sense to them. Some of them were going to the cloud. Some of them were going to private cloud, as we talk about it, which is not necessarily a SaaS offering, is just a different way of hosting, right? It's moving from a data center you own to a data center that Microsoft owns. And from my VC perspective, the goal was to build a profitable company. So to discussion with them, it was kind of like an easy decision to say, we have, and as I told you the other day, we have a tribal strategy. Go where the market is going and support the market to the best we can. We'll be a good partner of Microsoft and support the Office 365 SharePoint Online with new products, and also satisfy our investors by growing the company, producing, you know, results that are meaningful to them, albeit it may be slower than they like to see.
Okay, well, thank you. So you've actually gone through a very thoughtful process in developing your strategy, and you were brought in specifically to transform the company. What were the key elements of the business strategy or the business model that you needed to look at as you were building out your plans?
Well, when you start looking at the marketplace, it doesn't take very long to realize that the market is going through a transformation and there are new visions out there. So from a product perspective, we had to start investing a lot more in future strategies, you know, whether it was creating new products that were supporting of a hybrid environment, whether it was creation of products that connect Office 365 to on-premise systems, or whether it was to support people who actually want to go to Office 365 and run a cloud business. So that's where it starts, because if you don't have the investment technology as an ISV, it's pretty hard to go and fix the other things. Now, having done that, then marketing and positioning becomes very important, and we actually went through a big change in terms of rolling out the company. Our messaging is very different now than it was a year ago. We actually started talking about hybrid and introduced our ideal hybrid strategy on our website, you know, educating buyers and customers and markets in terms of the multiple ways you can implement a hybrid strategy. You know, there are really, you know, it's a complicated subject, and we think educating the market is going to help. And then from there you get to, okay, now that we figured out the product and, you know, we need to price it, we need to introduce it to the marketplace, we need to figure out what our salespeople will do. Now, are they the same salespeople? Is the profile different? Is the customer base the same or not? And that takes a bunch of thinking and talking and discussing to figure out. And I think we eventually figured it out and came up with something that I think is very valid.
We're going to come back to the sales organization in the second part of this interview. But you mentioned the working out your pricing. What kind of a process did you go through as you're going from on-premise to developing a price book for a recurring revenue model?
So we actually started by looking at the markets as though we don't exist in the other one. So our first point was, okay, if you're going to go to the cloud, what are the products for the cloud, and what is, does the competitor look like in the cloud, and what would the customer pay for on the, in the cloud? Because if I were a startup starting from scratch and doing the cloud only, that's what I would have done. I would have tried to price my products for what the market would bear. Having done that, then we came back and said, okay, there is a second part to this, which is certain people are going to go to the cloud, but it's not a SaaS cloud, right? What it is a dedicated environment in Azure, maybe host, maybe supported by us, maybe not. And that's where we start realizing that in addition to having a SaaS offering, you're probably going to have a subscription offering. And that the subscription offering doesn't necessarily have to run in the cloud. If a customer wants to subscribe to a product for a while for business reasons, and that's on the premise, then that's okay too. Having come up with those two, then we stepped back and looked at our on-premise versus that and made the right compromises to make sure that from a pricing perspective, it makes business sense, but equally create an environment in which our salespeople would not have a preference for one versus the other, and it's the customer and the market that has a preference.
Now, in setting price, one of the considerations that a lot of ISVs have is the actual support costs. When they're selling on-premise software, they're collecting the licenses, there are really no actual costs associated with the production of the software, but there are some real infrastructure costs as they move to the cloud. And when we talk to ISVs, we see a lot of them really concerned about that and where they want to do a cost-plus pricing to ensure their margin. Could you give your recommendations to an ISV on how they should start the pricing? Should cost be a factor, or should they be looking at other elements?
I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but when you look at our license prices versus the computing costs, especially in a world where the computing cost is dropping as we go forward, the incremental cost of that infrastructure, if you wish, the infrastructure to run our solution in the cloud is not enough to matter, right? You know, if your software license has 90%+ margin, and if your support models are right, you know, when you go and look at how much some of our products require in terms of computing costs, especially in those cases where the customer is providing a SharePoint license, is minimal. Having said that, you know, yeah, if you can get away with it, you increase it. Because the reality is that when a customer is going to the cloud, they are saving money because they don't need to have that infrastructure themselves either, right? I mean, think about the computing costs, the software license costs, the IT support costs, if you're running data center, the heat, the air conditioning, building costs. So it's fair to pass the cost as long as you're reasonable. Sometimes the problem, though, is your license price is such that the cost of the computing infrastructure makes a real dent in what you do. And in those cases, my recommendation is, you know, not everybody has to bundle everything. Unbundle it, show the customer the license cost and the infrastructure cost and charge for them separately.
Okay. You've used the word hybrid a couple of times, and I think that's the business strategy for a lot of ISVs. Now, some ISVs are getting dragged into the cloud, kicking and screaming, where they will have some type of a cloud offering, but really, as they save the deal, being very reactive. Some companies are looking at, well, how proactive should we be? Should we go all in? Should we just jump into the cloud and make everything recurring revenues? The investors like it, and if we can pull it off, we'll be worth a lot more money. In a previous conversation, you've used the term tribrid, which I thought was very interesting. Could you please explain what you mean by that and how that impacts your strategy?
Yeah, so if you look at the customer, right, some customers are looking at going to a cloud SaaS offering 5 years from now. And for the foreseeable future, they're going to be living in an on-premise environment. And I'm going to be clear about on-premise. On-premise does not mean the equipment is necessarily in my environment. On-premise means to us that the equipment is dedicated to my company, my organization. So an on-premise environment can be something that's dedicated to a customer running in the customer's data center or in Azure or other hosting center. Now, when you think about that, the minute the customer decides to move from it being owned by them to an environment in which it's being supported by somebody else, like I have a SharePoint farm or two sitting in Azure, the customer has decided to to go to a subscription-based, an annuity-based environment. In that environment, you can fit that model by offering subscription for your product to run in that environment, because the customer is already in a model that ownership of the equipment and environment is not that important to them. They're moving it to a service. And whenever somebody is buying service, you can piggyback on that and market your product or service. So to me, that's a subscription. Now, if you do subscription, it's not quite the cloud, it's not quite SaaS, but it is annuity. And the customer turns around and says, well, if you do it on Azure, why can't I buy it the same way and host it in my environment? The answer is yes, of course you can. The other side of this same story is a customer likes owning stuff. If somebody likes to own stuff and likes to buy licenses, then we will sell them licenses. And the third side is people are migrating to Office 365, is sold per user or per something, and they're used to that, and therefore your products have to fit that model. So in a way, I will make the case that in many of these examples, the customer's decision about their computing infrastructure is giving us the opportunity to price to meet what they have emotionally, intellectually already have committed to anyway. And that's why I call it tribe, right? Perpetual license, subscription, or SaaS. Those are three ways of pricing.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for explaining that. And then again, you are actively transforming the organization from on-prem to a predominantly recurring revenue model over the next 2 to 3 years. You've made a lot of changes, you've put a lot of your strategy in place, but what do you see the remaining challenges, and what do you think ultimately will determine how successful the recurring revenue model will be?
Well, our remaining challenge is to increase, you know, it actually is not cloud or not, is our biggest challenge is increase our visibility and promote our products so that people know that we exist and we have solutions that satisfy their needs. In terms of cloud migration, our biggest challenge will be to be a little bit ahead of the market. I don't think we want to invest and be way ahead of the market and sit there and wait for the market to catch up. I also think that if you're too far behind the market, you're going to lose too much market share. So the balance of investment in the cloud products, the balance of investment in the existing on-premise products, innovation about technology that integrates cloud with on-premise so the customers can have a single user experience, because for us, the portal is the driving force. And you don't really want to have people go to the portal in the cloud and say, oh my God, I lost a bunch of functionality and things don't work well here, and then come in the on-premise and saw something that's much better, or vice versa. So for us, making that portal to be in front of the user without the user knowing where the infrastructure is, where the systems are, if it's on the cloud or in the premise or Azure, that is the critical piece to our success. Because if we can pull that off, then we would have integrated this whole environment and let IT organization transparently migrate their infrastructure to the cloud without interrupting the business or creating user pain.
Great. Well, thank you. Now, you've been going through this transformation. You still have a little bit of time left on it, but you've experienced a lot of significant changes in the organization. What recommendations or suggestions would you have for ISVs that are sitting at the front end of this process, that are deciding whether or not they should jump into to this cloud offering?
Well, my first advice is, it's not about jumping in. It's about reacting to the marketplace. And if you have not started doing something, get going, because the market is moving that direction. If you wait too long, you're going to fall behind. And the problem is that the buyers expect to be able to have the flexibility to have a solution that meets their requirement. And if you don't fill it, they'll fill it some other way, or a competitor comes in. So I don't think people should be sitting there. I also don't think people should be jumping in. I think what they should figure out with their customers and market is figure out what makes sense in terms of what they need to do, but I wouldn't be sitting here and thinking that I want to stay on-premise forever. I think that's a very dangerous strategy.
Well, thank you very much, Masud. This has been great, because you are really addressing a strategic challenge that a lot of ISVs are faced with, and that is moving their on-premise business into a recurring revenue model. We're going to be coming back in part two of this interview on talking about the sales organization and sales compensation, but I think you've given ISVs a lot of good information, a lot of things to think about, and some very good guidance. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.